Good morning, church. Good morning. It is so good to be with you on this Resurrection Sunday. Happy Easter. Weren't our youth great in leading us in worship today? A huge thanks to them and the adults who helped make it happen as well. They, I think, three straight Fridays were here at night practicing for this, and early this morning, it was wonderful to see them put in all the time and the work, and we get to receive the blessing of that today. Amen. We are nearing the end of our Flourishing Faith series. Those who have journeyed with us, we've been talking this whole Lenten journey, this journey to the cross, about how does our faith grow? How does our faith flourish? And what does that look like? We've looked at these different components of the faith, belief, trust, and really living it out, this actions and obedience. We've talked about different ways that our faith can flourish. That firstly, like Jesus and the cross are at the center of our faith. John tells us that nobody has seen God until they have seen Jesus. He is the best representation of God. This whole week, we've been journeying to the cross and the centrality of that in our faith. We've looked at faith as a verb. It can grow, it can stretch, it can shrink back. The importance of pressing in to our faith. We've looked at various stages of faith. The importance of authenticity. We looked at the man who wanted his son healed, who said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And God met him in his honesty. And last week, we talked about God, 2 weeks ago, God in the wilderness with us, and last week, Palm Sunday. Now, earlier in this series, we talked about the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was ill. They sent word to Jesus that he was ill. Jesus did not arrive in time to heal Lazarus. So Mary and Martha are distressed, and Martha runs out to Jesus and says this, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." If you had been here, if things had been different, if you had arrived in time, and maybe all of us have had those if moments, if things had went differently, if I hadn't lost my job, if I hadn't gotten cancer, if the relationship had worked out. And Martha meets him in this very real place of despair. Jesus steps into that moment and says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, Martha starts talking about doctrine, about this theology, this belief amongst the Jewish people that there would be a resurrection when God returns. And many Jews believe that. Some Jews did not believe that. She's like, yeah, I believe in that resurrection, that idea. But Jesus wants to push her further. It's not an idea. It's not a doctrine. It's really about a person. Jesus says to her this, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? He asked that to Martha, and he asked that to us today. Jesus doesn't seem so concerned about whether she believes in this concept of resurrection. What he wants to know is, does she believe in him? That is what makes the difference. He says, "Put your faith in me." Now, we've talked about these three stages of belief or faith, if you will, this orientation stage where things make sense, life is going according to plan, things are working out, this disorientation phase where things did not work out as intended. Maybe God seems absent from you. Maybe suffering has hit you in a way you never anticipated. Maybe questions and doubts are emerging. And then this final stage of reorientation where things are now different. There's a new solid ground that you found. You have a new perspective on your faith, renewed purpose in your life. It no longer feels shaky. Now, you might find yourself in one of these boxes, or parts of you in multiple boxes today, or maybe you've went through this cycle many times. Know that Jesus meets you wherever you might be. Maybe first time at church today, maybe you've come your whole life. Maybe your faith is feeling strong and on the mountaintop, or maybe really low. Jesus meets you in that place. I was thinking about this Holy Week and how actually Holy Week gives us a picture of this same sort of journey. We see last Sunday, Palm Sunday, the celebration, our shine teachers and the kids coming up front, waving the palm branches. We remembered that Israel welcomed in Jesus, celebrating the Messiah, celebrating the King and their hopes and expectations for what this King would do, that he would free them from bondage. He would free them from Rome, that he would liberate them politically. This is how they thought the world was supposed to work. This is how they thought God's promises were going to be fulfilled. And now Jesus is coming in to make everything right from their perspective. But as the week went on, Jesus doesn't pick up the sword. He picks up the cross and journeys towards Golgotha. And that's not what they thought was going to happen. Even those closest to him couldn't make sense of Good Friday, couldn't make sense of what they were experiencing, couldn't make sense of what Jesus was doing and why he was allowing this to happen. We went through the stations of the cross the week before this last one that takes that journey. Let's take a quick look at it now. Quickly, things changed that week. As Jesus journeyed to the cross, his disciples were confused. The person that they loved had seen perform miracles, breathed his last breath. What did it all mean? What was going to happen next? It wasn't supposed to end this way. And maybe you found yourself in those places in life. It wasn't meant to be this way. What is next? We, of course, know that resurrection is next. We know new life is next, but sometimes when we are in those disoriented places, it's hard to see what is next because we're experiencing it for the first time. On Good Friday, the Christ candle was blown out. He had given up his life. Today, Easter Sunday, it is lit. Why? Because Jesus is alive, church. He is alive. And that makes all the difference to the original followers of Jesus and to us today. He lives. Easter morning, we were reading the passage from Luke today out at Easter sunrise service, and the women go to the tomb first to anoint the body. They get there, and the body isn't there, and they're confused, and an angel reminds them, Jesus said this was going to happen. He was going to die and be raised again. He is not here. He has risen. The women run back to tell the 11, and the 11 do what? They don't believe the women, right? Now, if you were making up a faith story, you would not have women be the eyewitnesses, because in that culture, they weren't believed, right? And the 11 don't believe them. It's astounding, right? But Peter rushes to the tomb to figure it out for himself. There's still a bit of confusion, and they're not sure what has happened, but slowly their confusion turns to hope, turns to reality as they encounter Christ. This morning, we got to celebrate that reality at 6 a.m. out on the pier. Let's watch that now. Thank you, Mike, for turning that video around so quickly. We didn't see the sun, but the sun had risen. Sometimes life is that way. The light is there, but it's hard to see the sun, and we don't pretend. We don't go into denial about reality. But it went from darkness to light. Many people have asked me, why did we do a sunrise service? Well, Luke says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, they went to the tomb. And so that's why we go very early in the morning. I always kind of mock some of the other pastors who do a sunrise service, but not at sunrise. I'm like, come on, don't advertise it as a sunrise if you don't get to see the sunrise. So this new reality, this new way, God is risen. He had defeated death. He had victory over the grave. Everything had changed. Calendars had changed. Followers of Jesus who one day had abandoned Christ now are giving up their lives because of the reality of them seeing the risen Jesus. Resurrection isn't just an idea. It is a person. And that power of resurrection that we were singing about earlier is not just from Jesus, it's from Jesus to us, resurrecting us out of our deaths, resurrecting us into new life. John 20, verse 1, says this: early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." At first, the empty tomb was not celebrated. It was a puzzle. It was a question. It was a mystery. What happened? Mary is bewildered, and then she encounters somebody else in the garden. This person asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. As soon as Jesus had said her name, I'm sure Jesus had said her name in the past, it broke through the confusion, the questions. All of a sudden, she recognized the teacher's voice. She knew it was him. She knew the shepherd. Mary embraces him, we see. And then in verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Mary, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now, up to this point, Jesus has talked about God as the Father who sent me, and he has called his followers disciples and servants and friends. Now, all of that has changed here in verse 17. Feel the force of this. He says, "Go and say to my brothers, I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus has done something here to bring them into communion, into relationship with God that only he could do. It has been altered decisively, and they benefit from that, and so do we. We can claim this verse for our own. The disciples are welcomed into a new world where they can know God the way Jesus knew God, where they can be intimate children in relationship with the Father. Jesus has made a way forward, a way back to the Father's house. And everyone who follows Jesus is welcome in his name as a beloved son and daughter, child of God. John's gospel is so rich. John tells us about all these metaphors Jesus ascribes to himself. "I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, the door, the good shepherd, the true vine." And in our reading today, the resurrection and the life. Let's go back to that John 11 where Jesus and Martha are talking. How does Martha respond? "Do you believe?" She says this, "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." See, Jesus invites Martha into exchanging her, "If only you had been here," to "if Jesus." He wants to move her from only thinking about this idea or the circumstance to thinking about Jesus and his reality of being with her in whatever she is walking to. And I don't know what all of your if only moments are. As a pastor, I get the privilege of walking with many of you through those if only moments and walking alongside of you and sometimes just pointing to Jesus, reminding you about Jesus's presence with you in those moments and about how God can work and does work even when we don't see it, as the team, the youth were singing. Even when we don't see it, God is working. Sometimes in the moment, it's hard to see that, but God continues to work. Pastor John was saying this morning that this Easter Sunday gives us a new word in our vocabulary, resurrection. It's not just crucifixion. Resurrection follows. Everything has changed. There's a new reality at play. So these key ingredients to our faith, Jesus invites Martha into this. Do you believe? And not just intellectually, but do you trust me? Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to go to the places I will lead? I love hearing stories of community, and I get to hear a lot of stories as the pastor, but I love it when we can share those stories. Sho, who's been with us for a year or two now, has shared her story. Let's listen to it now.
Hello, my name is Sho. I'm from Nanjing, China. I first came to Hong Kong since 2012. That was after I finished my undergraduate studies in the States. I started coming to church, perhaps just to community church, just 1 or 2 years ago. And to me, I'm also relatively new to the faith and also to this exploration of Christianity. But I'm also immensely grateful after I learned more about the church and I learned more about Christianity. I was also immensely grateful that perhaps during some of the challenging moments in life, that I felt safe, protected, and I was really able to, I guess in a way, not just restoring, healing, but really growing and becoming more, I guess, open, and in a way more joyful. It's a wonderful feeling. And there are still times where I would say like, oh, I'm still immensely confused. But overall, I think it's a wonderful journey. And very many thanks for your attention and for listening, this sharing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sho, for sharing a bit of your story with us. And I love her sharing, and we filmed this actually several weeks ago and sort of looking for the right time to show it. But I loved her sharing of her journey at the beginning. It's not super clear, but she's stepping in. She's experiencing this faith. She's experiencing a safe place to bring her questions and her confusion and beginning to experience the life of Christ. Jesus meets you wherever you are as well. And we want to make that commitment as a church to meet you in whatever place, whatever stage you find yourself in, high as a mountaintop or in the valley of the shadow of death. When I was a young child, my parents took me to church every week, and it was a big part of my life. And I can remember as a young child deciding that I wanted to have a faith in Jesus. I wanted to accept him into my heart, as our church had talked about at that time. So one night at home with my mom, I told her this, and I can remember kneeling beside the bed, and she led me into a prayer where I put my hope in Jesus. I invited him into my heart. I confess that I was a sinner, and I thank Jesus for forgiving me and saving me. I still remember that moment. It did something in me. Did I have all the answers? No. I didn't know what I didn't know. Did I have a good theology? No, not at all. It was a pretty messed up theology, actually. Did I know what it really meant to follow Jesus? As much as a six-year-old could know is what I knew. But despite all the ways we could sort of look at the innocence of that, or the you could even dismiss it, I know that it was real, that something happened in me that day that couldn't be taken away. Now, my faith, as you know, who have been here, was not a straight line of every step closer to Jesus from then on out. No, stepping away, stepping against, resisting, rebelling, stepping deeper, all have been a part of the journey. But Jesus has been real in it all for me. I tell you this story because wherever you might find yourself at, you can take that step of faith. Not with all of what you don't have, but whatever you do have. We had talked about it earlier. Even just a faith as small as a mustard seed, a tiny amount, God will meet us in that place because it's not so much about our faith as it is who he is. His resurrection power, his victory over the grave. The experience of Christ's love has changed me and has changed everything about how I live my life. Jesus calls us into this radical rethinking of our lives, this radical change of how we live. We can call that word repentance. We're thinking about things and directions in one way, and Jesus so radically changes what it's all about that we turn to him and begin to follow him. If you are here today, and maybe you've been on a faith journey your whole life, maybe you've never taken that step of faith, we want to invite you and encourage you to think through that today. Pastor John, in a couple of minutes, is going to come up and do communion. The worship team is going to play, and it'll be a time to take communion. And we always say, if you are wanting Christ, come to the table. But we also have the cross over here, this cross that represents a center of our faith and God's victory. There are candles there. Candles are a wonderful sort of prayer tool of hope. There are cushions if you'd like to sit there, and the team will continue to play as God is ministering to you wherever you might be at. Would you like to grow in your belief, in your trust, in your following? You want to take a step of faith? We invite you to that. And as always, we'll have our prayer ministers up here as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you meet us where we are at. You love us in the place that we are at. You're not waiting to love some future, perfected, more holy version of ourselves. You're not waiting to love us once we've cleaned up our lives. God, you love us right here, right now. And I pray that you would just be at work in and through our lives, wherever we might have been this week or this season. We invite your presence with us. May your Holy Spirit wash over us, God. May your love break through wherever we might be struggling this morning. God, we come to you, not in our own strength, but through the power of your Holy Spirit. May our faith as a community flourish in you. Restore us, Jesus. Live in us, live through us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.